With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Christmas is coming and the Football Ramble and audible.co.uk would like to give you a present. Be it I, Partridge, We Need to Talk About Alan by Alan Partridge, or The Lost World by Michael Crichton, you can claim a free audiobook on us. To claim it, just go to audible.co.uk/footballramble and sign up for a free 1 month trial with no obligation to continue. Merry Christmas.
Empty your bags, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. Good to have you here. My name's Marcus and Pete's with me.
Empty your bags. Luke is dead.
Jim's here.
Luke's dead again.
It's that time of year where people get ill. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, get off his back now.
And he has a lot more facial hair than everyone else, so there's loads of things that live in there.
Exactly.
Like mice and disease.
Yeah. Right then, let's begin by saying that Glenn Johnson is currently studying for a degree in maths.
Glojo.
Glojo. Very excellent.
Oh, Glenn Johnson.
Studying for a degree in maths. Well done, that man. He is halfway through the second year of an open university degree. This has prompted me to ask.
Hang on, open university degrees, that's like, so pretty much through the first year of a normal degree, then.
Is that right?
Well, it's part time, isn't it? So presumably.
I bet that's more of a maths degree than you've got, Pete. Get off Glojo's back.
This is a professional footballer into higher education.
Yeah, I've got my GCSE. That's all I need.
Good.
Kids.
Well,
you can reach the dizzying highs of a middling radio presenter. Middling to mediocre.
Middling to fair, yeah.
All right.
You do voiceover work as well.
Let's just talk about what Pete does.
Just reading out stuff off a bit of paper, innit?
Exactly. Yeah,
on the telly.
That's what I'm currently doing. Which person from the fabulous world of football do you think would make a good university lecturer? And for an extra point, what would they teach? Pete.
Well, I'm going for the literal Oliver Bierhoff's got a degree in economics, and he's good at headers as well.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'd sort
economics
of take
and headers.
No. I'd take two. I'd have David Weatherall as well as my lecturer. They'd want to do practical, want to do, the essays and stuff.
Why David Weatherall?
Well, he's got a chemistry degree. He's very fair.
Yeah.
And he only got one red card in his life, in his footballing life. Which in a litmus test is acidic, and he'd know that.
Good. Can't argue that. So an economics and chemistry degree.
Yeah, it's useful.
It would be useful.
Economics of football and the chemistry of the grass.
Mm-hmm. A clear career path there. Jim.
For me, I would have Joey Barton.
Yes.
Teaching French. In his own special way.
Good.
Yes.
Same things like the French word for armadillo is armadillo. You know, and such. For 3 years. Just for 3 years of that.
3 years.
Would that be one of your core animals that you teach someone? Armadillo.
Yeah, I don't know why I've said armadillo. I think I was going through the alphabet to just
Labby.
Pick things out of the air.
I can remember a good friend of mine and I, when we were trying to learn a bit of Spanish. Because there's, you get the tapes and all that, or the CDs, should I say. And there was a website which was quite good, and we were looking for websites just to get us started. Mm. And there was one that was like, would teach you words like watering can and stuff in Spanish. Just like really obscure.
You've never had an exotic cocktail in a French bar.
Clearly not. Harry Redknapp, economics.
Eh?
And we'll leave that
there we
right
go.
There.
Right there.
Honourable mention. Kevin Keegan at a clown school.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Oh, come on.
That's not very nice.
Well, it's
hairdressing,
Keegan,
surely.
God, if Luke was here, we'd be all over this.
Right.
I'd like to think that when he did get hit in the head in that lay-by, that his car doors did fall off. Immediately.
Yeah. You're
then
joining
the whole
him.
The Newcastle team came out.
You're meant to be with Keegan. You're joining Jim and Luke now.
Well, if you can't beat him.
Then equalise. Jim, you've got the point.
Oh, cheers, mate.
That's all right. Premier League, it happened again on the weekend, and the Manchester Derby took place. Manchester United won it 3-2. What a game.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
What a game. Rooney with a double.
Certainly the back end of the game was very feisty, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Fun. Was it just... What did the best team win, Pete?
I thought Torre played particularly well.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of drop passes. I think that was...
I know, but there was some exceptional quality in the goals and stuff. Yeah. Well. The City's, was it the first goal? Where it was... It took them about 9 goes to get it. I think it was when it was Toure's goal. Yeah. Where the build-up play from Tevez, where it seemed like he lost it and he hung on to it and just sprayed it back out again. It was brilliant. It was one of those... You know, lesser teams, that's like, oh, there's been a chance, oh, the chance has gone, but they just hung on and kept forcing other chances.
Zabaleta should have been off the field for me. and there was a point where I think Torre like took it down the left, and two Man United players just slid in like morphos, and he just rode both the tackles, and he wanted the advantage played, but the referee didn't give it, which I thought was a little bit silly personally.
It is one of those games, isn't it, Manchester Derby, where tackles do fly in, but
crowd pleasers in matches like that, though, aren't they?
But I think people are so determined to carry on, like Toure probably was, that it doesn't occur to him, all right, I can just go down here and get someone sent off or something like that. You know, they are that determined. There's so much riding on the game.
For Rooney's second one, Kolo Toure looked a lot like a car salesman impersonating a footballer.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, excellent, Jim. You've got the points again.
Oh, brilliant. That's never happened before.
Balotelli.
Oh, yeah. He's not trying, is he?
No.
You
know,
it's a question of commitment for me. But enough about Luke Miller. Oh,
got him.
No, I thought the first few minutes, I thought he looked quite sparky and quite interested. But it was just he did a couple of misplaced back heels, and you know that's going to get the crowd on your back, really. The problem with Mancini is dragging him off so early in the second half. You're not really giving him any sort of...
Yeah, but
it's already ever going to end badly, isn't it?
But at 2-0, they needed a
change. But do you remember, he got his starting place for me because of how well he played against Manchester United last season. He played really, really well against them, and that's how he got it. But there's other players like Aguero was poor until Tevez came on for me. I thought they were quite anonymous. Nasri for the free kick.
Oh, my goodness,
There was loads of examples of players playing really badly in that side. But because Balotelli's a bit of a headline writer, everyone just focuses on him. But, you know...
Mami Mancini did
silver for the second goal as well. Just complete lack of any sort of concentration.
But they have looked as though they've switched off a bit. City. That is, you know, that's why Manchester United have got so many trophies. You know, they won the title, and as Gary Neville said, they never get complacent. Right, win it again. They'd never get that kind of they would never relax and
never believe your own hype.
With Ferguson just wouldn't let them do that. And Chelsea under Mourinho as well were quite similar. But Manchester City,
no team has ever won a championship on natural ability alone. And you know, it looks almost as if the City players believe you know that they're so talented and good that they can maybe put in less effort. Or, I don't know, maybe if it's a...
But I think also I think it is because it's Manchester City that you know, Manchester United have been the big boys, and for them to finally get that title for so many years, there is a kind of two fingers, and it's that attitude.
They're still hung over.
Yeah, that is that attitude that makes you drop off. You know, it's like, for any cricket fans out there, you know, the England cricket team in the Ashes or something. England win the Ashes eventually after so many years, 17 years or whatever, and absolutely bask in the glory. And the Aussies go, right, let's make sure we hammer them in the next one. And they do, you know. It is that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And City, okay, they're still up there this season, but that's because they have exceptional players.
Yeah.
But they have dropped off. I mean, Champions League, I mean, look, it's the worst performance of an English side, I believe, in the Champions League.
They didn't win a game, did they?
It's good to see Gareth Barry getting so really angry about
and
he's being charged by the FA for
being too furious.
I think too fast, too furious.
You can't accuse him of not caring, because we know that anger means that
passion, isn't it?
Exactly.
Frankly, he does look a little bit clueless at times, because he's so one-footed. When he looks bad, he looks really bad. When he looks good, he looks really good.
Short passing—that's his—that's the key there. But it was a great win for Manchester United, and after going 2-0 up and being pegged back to 2-2, Robin van Persie popped up with a goal. Should Joe Hart have done better?
Well, he got unlucky. It was a deflection off Semen Nasri, wasn't it? So, you know, I think Hart was probably already in the air by the time he dived. You know, it's nestled right in the corner. I think that's harsh on Joe Hart.
He just... he didn't really have a chance to sort of settle himself, did he, before he had to do the dive effectively, because he ran over and they went, oh god, crap. But yeah, he didn't look too comfortable a long time during the first half, as I recall. Remember, he came out on the side to was it to header a ball out or kick it out or something, and it was so unnecessary for him. I know he's a very confident outfield player, but you don't need to be yourself under so much
Hart's
pressure.
Best performances have been in the Champions League this season, where he's performed exceptionally well.
Do you think that's because he had so much more to do?
Well, perhaps. And I think also, when you're at the Bernabeu, or Borussia Dortmund are bearing down on you, you need to
you're
right back
be the focus,
to the wall.
You know you're going to be the focus of a lot of the action.
Exactly. And Roy Keane made a good point when England were away at Poland, and the rain provided the fabulous entertainment that evening when it was called off. And he said he just felt that this season Hart has slightly just turned off a bit. You know, he's not at 100% like he was the previous season. The goal in that game, the Polish goal, again, he came for the cross and didn't quite make it. And there has been a few errors, but whereas in the Champions League, they've been up against it and Hart's needed to perform, and he has performed very well. In the Premier League, again, we go back to, have they just switched off a bit?
But he's a young player, and it's an education. He's a youngish player, and it's an education for him to a certain extent. You know, he'll realise this season that, you know, he hasn't put his best performances in, and he'll need to rectify that for the 2013-2014
exactly,
season. Jiminy cricket.
Jiminy. But yeah, great win for Manchester United, nevertheless. Another 3-2 that happened on the weekend was Liverpool when they went away to West Ham. They won. Glenn Johnson scoring a great goal. Glojo and Joko.
Joe Cole.
Retro.
Scoring against their old clubs. Good win for Liverpool. They're getting a little bit of momentum.
Well, I thought that with Suarez missing and West Ham being quite good, I thought that might be, home win there. But no, they did well to fight back from that. Gerrard's goal. Excellent, wasn't it?
Lovely header.
Great technique.
It's a strange one, isn't it?
Really strange, yeah.
It's not a player that has scored many own goals, I wouldn't have thought. That's usually Jamie Carragher's role.
Yeah.
In the team,
because he only scores goals that are levered, absolutely levered.
Yeah. Maybe he's sort of forgotten how, and he's just wanted to get one even at the wrong end, just to get a reminder of that feeling.
Directed into the corner. Glenn Johnson's goal was great. He loves a cut inside.
He scored a lot of goals like that. They're normally lower than that. I think, isn't that the third time in a row he scored against West Ham when he's played against them or something? I think I heard that in commentary, but
my goodness,
it's odd.
Yeah,
but nice to see Joe Cole scoring again as well, because it looked like his Liverpool career and indeed his football career might be over.
Yeah, it really did.
Shocking performance in the Europa League.
Lovely goal as well.
Yeah.
What do you think of the lack of celebration against former clubs? Because I think you used to see it very rarely back in the day, which made it quite sincere if a player was really attached to that club. And, when Henrik Larsson scored for Barcelona against Celtic, for example.
Yeah.
But is it just a bit too far nowadays?
Too po-faced.
Well, that you're just not allowed to. It's just not the done thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's still a nice
gesture.
Especially
with really journeyman footballers as well.
Exactly.
I think what's really annoying about it for me is how the
Emmanuel Adebayor didn't do that.
I'd block that one out. As I say, for me, it's when, the players' teammates won't let them not celebrate. It's like they jiggle their limbs around just make them do it.
Come on,
let them not celebrate. It's obvious what they're trying to do.
Kiss the badge for them.
That's the one good thing about international football. You don't have that. Do what you want.
Score against your own country.
The former Yugoslavia team, please.
Excuse me. Well done, Liverpool. Shame for West Ham. They were talking about momentum. They built some up themselves.
Yeah.
But still, it wasn't a terrible performance. And
no, Liverpool have been playing for quite some time, but they just haven't had the results for me.
Losing Diame is massive for West Ham.
Oh, what a shame.
Nasty looking hamstring injury. Just popped.
Well, and Andy Carroll as well.
Yeah, but Carroll was wasn't allowed to play against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Anyway, was he?
Is Andy Carroll a little bit injury prone, dare I say? He does pick up a few, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's very tall. I can't imagine how long his hamstrings are.
Yeah, there's more stuff to bang yourself on than you thought. Pick up knocks around the house,
Andy Carroll's out of that a head injury.
When you're off your face on Corkies or VKs.
Careful.
that's good advice for him.
Let's go to Goodison Park. where Everton beat Spurs 2-1. Great win right at the end.
Pienaar celebrated it against his old club, didn't he?
Well, I think he did. Good lad, his old club, new club. Do you know what I mean? What was so nice about that from Everton's point of view is we've talked about them dropping points, withdrawing games and so on, and they got the equaliser. Oh, thank goodness. And then they bloody won it, and Moyes was on the pitch celebrating like it was 1999.
Nice to see Jelavic get goals. Well, it's been a while.
It has been a while. Great reflex.
Yeah. Mm.
Great. Really, really I was about to say reflexology. I was going down a Prince theme there. Two song titles in a row.
But they just dig it out, don't they, Everton? They really, really do. They seem to be keeping up the stamina for this period of the season where it's so easy for teams to drop off. I mean, look at West Brom. You know, they've started kind of, you know, falling away a bit now. But Everton,
Emirates is a tough place to go.
Sometimes it is.
But you don't get too patronising and go, oh, I'm so glad for them. But I am really glad for them.
No, but I think it's three games without a win now, though, isn't it? West Brom.
Great for Everton. Well, let's move on to West Brom. They lost to Arsenal 2-0, of course. Two penalties. Cazorla dived, Jim.
Well, yeah, he did, didn't he?
It was from one angle. It's a good dive. From another angle, it's a terrible dive.
I know. It's such a shame because he's a brilliant player, and you're reminded that when he has the ball at his feet and he threads beautiful passes, great touch. You think, yeah, he's grown up in that Spanish footballing culture. And forgive me for stereotyping. When he does that, you think, yeah, he was brought up in that Spanish football culture, where that is a little bit more. Right.
Was it Winston Reid or Stephen Reid?
Stephen Reid.
That was involved in the incident. From what I know of Stephen Reid, he is he's quite the martial artist. So my theory is that his reflexes are so quick that he did actually foul Cazorla, but none of us could see it.
Because
he was just so ninja-like.
Because he's the second Dan.
Yeah. So
okay.
Shut up, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, I stand.
Shut up, physics and the world.
I stand corrected clearly and can only apologise. Oxlade-Chamberlain. He won the second penalty. That was a foul. But did he foul?
Yes, he did. And also Per Mertesacker got away with a blatant handball in the box. I don't know how we won that game.
It was a fortunate 3 points. What I liked, actually, Arteta's penalties, he did something which I always wonder why footballers don't do more with penalties. He put it down the middle but side-footed it, but didn't dink it, didn't smash it. When he shapes up to run like that, I always wonder why players don't do that more.
Put it down the middle because you look if you're side footing it, you look like you're going to put it in the corners.
Correct.
But if you put it down the middle, the keeper's already done his dive.
Yeah, because if you run up and you're going to smash it, the chances are you could be hammering it down the middle.
Yeah.
But nobody, you either smash it or dink it down the middle. Mm. Nobody places it down the middle. And so,
advice for the modern Premier League footballer.
Well done. Our penalties getting
side footy.
Yeah. another great win. For an away side on the weekend was Norwich away to Swansea 4-3. 4-3. Stephen Whittaker with his first since signing for Rangers. I think he'll have a good time there, actually. He likes to get involved in the goals.
That's one of those games where if you'd somehow avoided the scores and you sat down for match of the day and you saw that Swansea Norwich was first, you'd go, hello. This is going to be a game.
You get a 2 whatever, and you're like, when's this going to end?
Yeah. So when Portsmouth beat Norwich 7 when Portsmouth beat Reading 7-4 or whatever it was. It was amazing.
Stopped.
I mean, it wasn't quite up to that standard, but it was a brilliant game. Well, there was so much skill on display. So a lot of rattled crossbars, a lot of flicks, a lot of skill.
Grant Holt's got a header.
Oh, didn't he?
You're absolutely right.
And another goal for Bissong as well.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Again, racist abuse.
Yeah,
For crying out loud.
Grow up.
Yeah, done. You're absolutely right. When that game comes on and you see Norwich, they go 2-0 up and 3-0 up in the first half, you think, oh, what's going to happen here? Michu amongst the goals as well. Guzman.
What a play. 13 goals he's got now. It's ridiculous how good he is.
Mm. I'm seeing everybody talk about their bloody fantasy. I've got him in the fantasy football league. I don't care. I just don't care anymore.
Don't talk to those people.
Yeah. What a strange insight into the daily routine of Pete Donaldson.
Lovely free kick from Snodgrass.
Yep. Snodders.
He's made the step to the Premier League quite well. What else have we got from the Premier League roundup? It's Fulham 2, Newcastle United 1. Our very own Pete Donaldson was there.
I was. I wasn't in the neutral stand either. So I had to keep quiet.
Where were you?
Did you?
I was
which
in
which stand?
What's the one on the right hand side? if you're facing from the neutral stand.
From the right. So that would be the Johnny Haynes stand?
Yes, the Johnny Haynes stand.
The wooden seats?
Yes, the wooden seats.
Ghastly things.
The whole stand. I mean, there's braces that they've added to the joists in the top of the stand. I'm looking at it and it's all bent. I'm like, yeah, that's coming down one day. This stand is coming down one day.
What a day it'll be then.
But there was a lad quite close to me who jumped up when Ben Arthur Hatem Bomb scored his goal. And then it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can do that in like a Fulham match because, you know, Fulham are Fulham. But then there was two proper naughty lads behind him just going, just fucking get out. Get out now. I'll fucking cut you. And I was thinking, I'm supposed to be at Chelsea. I'm supposed to be at Chelsea. But the best thing, the highlight was for me was, apart from seeing Berbatov, just some of his... The ball was like a million miles in the sky and he just take it down on his toe. What a lovely player to watch. Yeah. What a footballer.
That's incidentally, like when people say Berbatov, oh, he plays the game at his place and it's too... No, that's how the game should be played. Yeah. Everyone else has got it wrong.
Yeah. If you want a fag break, you have a fag break. Yeah.
Not even that. He could drink tea. He really could drink tea. Not spill a drop.
Just balancing a cup of tea on his left. Just floating into the air to cushion it with his right.
Yeah, and he was wearing tights as well.
He was wearing tights. I think Tiote was as well. The wonderful moment where there was two fully grown adults in front of me eating an advent calendar. I was looking going, what are they eating? They are eating an advent calendar. Fulham FC, hang your heads.
I think that's brilliant.
I like that. Did you see the Michael Jackson statue? Oh no, it's the other side.
Yeah, have you seen it yet? No, I've not seen it yet. No.
I imagine I would say, is this it?
But the match itself, it's a weird one. I don't know why Newcastle United just keep on people like Jonas were terrible. We were kind of relying on Santon and Simpson to get the ball in the box and stuff. But I actually went home and looked at our heading stats for last season, and we're like bottom four.
We scored like eight goals
on the head. So I don't know why we keep persisting on whipping the ball in, because we're just not that kind of team.
It was the perfect game for them. Then knock it on long to Berbatov. You can't head Newcastle can't head the ball, and he's just going to.
And Hangeland's massive as well.
Oh, he is. Yeah. what was I going to say? I mean, should Fulham have had the game out of sight though?
Yeah, they beat our defence were in absolute bits. Even like Colaccini, like he's got no legs, and in a foot race with a lot of the players up top, they're just doing us. Duff was on fire.
Yeah, he always is against Newcastle, isn't he?
Roundly booed. I was like, somebody tweeted why did he get booed? It's like, well, he left after one match of the Championship, and also he does us over every single time. Newcastle, Fulham.
The last three seasons, including this one, Newcastle have lost there.
I think we were at the really heavy one in January, weren't we? We lost 5-2. Where you know we played all right first half, then got a bit windy, and then we just felt the bits really. So. But it's a funny outcome.
Newcastle struggling, only 4 points above the relegation zone. Yeah. But then Fulham. I mean, both teams needed a win there. Fulham's first win in eight. Dear. There we are. But before we leave the Premier League, we must talk about the chat that's been going on. There's talk of nets being put up either end of the grounds behind the goals.
Yeah, you couldn't get a coin through that, could you?
No, absolutely not. because in the Manchester Derby, Rio Ferdinand was hit with a coin. It was horrible to see that.
It was more the fact that when it immediately happened, he did a Ravanelli, but it looked like he'd messed it up and slapped himself in the face or poked himself in the eye. Yeah, I was laughing my head off, and then suddenly blood started pouring from his eye. I was like, what the hell just happened?
Blood will stop laughter.
Nets encourage blow darts. It's an easy thing to just nestle one on, isn't it?
Somebody tweeted
yesterday, which, you know, is not right, but it did make me laugh. When I was eight, I got Roy Keane with a soft mint. I am gutted. So that really made me laugh. Just Roy Keane and a soft mint in the library.
The soft mint just disintegrating on impact.
Yeah.
Keane not even noticing.
I remember when I first saw Nets at Ground. I was at Ajax Stadium having a tour with the rest of the tourists. No, it wasn't just me. And
let me in.
Yeah, it was before the ramble.
They are.
But the away fans, they have a net around them. But he said because like some proper
around
stuff
around them.
is in the section.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, not each one of them. Yeah, like, it's not like a mosquito net. You know? And he said that was put in because some proper stuff was chucked over, yeah. Especially when Feyenoord were there.
Right, yeah.
Mopeds and pig's heads.
All that kind of jargon. And he said that... when it stopped, he said football fans will find anything, because then the Ajax fans arm themselves with like tomato ketchup and squirt. Absolutely anything.
Sounds like you need to wrap the players in nets. That's
yeah, exactly. Yeah, the football fans are just pathetic. Absolutely.
I remember watching a match at Hartlepool once, and Joe Allen was playing, and somebody, because he was a fat fucker, the original Joe Allen, not the new one
at Liverpool,
not Joe Allen 2.0, and somebody threw a Mars bar into the goal net, and he picked up and just started eating it.
That's class, that.
Quite like, in the middle of a third division match.
Cheers. Well, there was a goalkeeper for Middlesbrough called... Oh, what's his name? It's something... Forgive me, Middlesbrough fans, but it's a classic name. I think he was a Scottish guy.
Right.
He's something like Willy Wiggum or something like that. It's a brilliant, brilliant old name. And he would encourage the fans to throw him a cigarette so he could have a drag while they're up the other end of the pitch. I mean, this is from a bygone era of football. Yeah. But he was quite... Because my uncle's a Middlesbrough fan, and he told me that... I think that's what his name is, but I can't remember.
It's the Berbatov pace.
It is, yeah. And he said what he would sometimes do, like he'd sit on the crossbar and stuff if the game was down the other end, because it would take them half an hour to get up with that leather ball, you know. And also, he was that ugly that he was that classic little anecdote of, you know, if mothers wanted to keep their children away from the fireplace, they'd put a picture of Willy Wiggum by the, you know. Oh, marvellous little round.
Throwing things is fine.
Yeah. But they're so. In a bygone era.
But then they're also
if they're on
about,
fire. They're smoking at one end, go for
if
it.
If you put up next Premier League, we'll find a way through, is what I'm saying.
But then they're also talking about standing back in the thing as well. Because there was obviously that quite recent Bundesliga protest where they stayed quiet in the first 12 minutes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I can't remember which club manager got really upset about it because he thought it was personal to him. How dare you? But it was all about like the Bundesliga clubs want to turn everything into all-seaters because you can charge more money, basically.
Oh, they want to be all seasons, then?
Well, okay, I think a few clubs have done it, and I think and heavier policing and more and like metal detectors and stuff like that. It all kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
But I mean, in this country, I think stuff like the Taylor Report never ever said that it's intrinsically dangerous to have a standing football ground. They just recommended that it might be a little bit easier to police and stuff. And the crux of the actual report was all about the policing itself, wasn't it? Mm. So there's no reason why we couldn't go back to standing. There's pressure bars and stuff you can have. At the end of the day, if you let the required amount of people in on the turnstiles, you know, it's kind of. I wouldn't see a problem with it per se nowadays, because it's just one of those, like, there's smart cards, there's ways of preventing people to being in football. It's all about policing for me, I think.
Have you ever been to a standing game?
Only in like the lower divisions.
Because I've never actually been to one.
Not even like
not even lower league.
At Hartlepool in the town end, that was fun.
I mean, was it good though? Did you prefer it?
Yeah, and it would, and also if like your mates were down one end, you'd sort of go, you could sort of stand where you wanted and stuff without stewards tutting at you and stuff, and you didn't necessarily need, and you know, you didn't worry about seating and stuff. Obviously, you don't worry about seating at all, but like, oh, I need to get three seats here, I need to get two seats here if all my friends want to come and stuff, and you just get together, and it was more, you felt closer to the team.
Yeah,
you felt, you know, if you wanted to ease off and go somewhere else, it would get packed from time to time, and it wouldn't. There would be times where it was just genuinely unpleasant, farts, cigarette burns, etc., etc.
I wouldn't have a cigarette burn and ban farting.
But you know, it's just like there's more tales that I can tell about being in the town end at Hartlepool than, you know, being an all-seater stadium part on Advent Calendar Man yesterday. You know, there's more funnier things happening.
You two are really nostalgic for an era you had no part in.
I'm intrigued. No, but I'm intrigued because so many football fans who are a little bit older do talk about standing.
Yeah,
with very rose tinted spectacles, and it does seem like it's something that people our age or a bit younger certainly have missed
out. Do you think
they
stand in their living rooms now when watching it on TV?
They could do,
but it's also one of those things where, like, I think like Newcastle fans are roundly put upon to sit down in every single match. It doesn't matter. Like, they well, never they sit down. Yeah, they exactly. stand all the time.
They do.
So it kind of makes a mockery of the whole system, really. Mm. But it's just kind of...
Yeah, Fulham, they would have...
But they get fined every single season that they're not standing and stuff, and there's different rules we put in and stuff. It's just...
That's just money out of Ashley's pocket. So there's going to be...
Can all of them fit into their seats, Pete?
There we go.
Excellent. Well, nice little chat about standing there. I think you'll all agree, and if not, then tough luck at staying in.
There's enough cameras, are crying out loud. If you got the netting thing, like you're going to throw something, you could just put loads of cameras in the ground. And, you know, you if could. Somebody does something, and that would defeat racism to a certain extent. That would defeat all kinds of horrible nastiness. It's just spending the money on, you know, policing it correctly. I think
force fields.
Bloody force fields
is the way forward. But that's your solution to most things, Jim. Yep. right then, the SPL. We're going there. Damn you,
horse fields.
Celtic. They won a game. That was probably because they weren't at home. A league game, I should say. They beat Kilmarnock 3-1 away. They did win a home game in the Champions League. They're through to the knockout phase.
Absolutely marvellous.
It doesn't happen often. It's happened before though, and they've done. Haven't they done well? In the words of Bruce Forsyth,
they have done well. I'd like to say. Imagine if they did a run.
It would be incredible.
They're doing it, mate. Yeah. They're doing a run now. But,
and there are enough teams that have dropped out of decent quality.
A favourable draw.
Yeah.
You know, they got a chance. But Samaras dived, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Do you mind? Or you...
I'm pro diving this week, weirdly. I've long been saying England should embrace cheating, but that's by the by, isn't it? It happens, doesn't it? It happened. It's.
I mean, they were rather fortunate, Celtic, because Benfica had chances against Barcelona. They brought on Messi to kind of sort it out, and then he went off injured. Mm. And Benfica, I mean, if you're a Benfica fan, then you would be livid. but great win for Celtic, and through they go, and they're going to have a great time. As I say, a good draw. I mean, imagine if they get the quarters.
But you know, they're going to have two very difficult games, whoever they play, because the quality is such now that they're looking hard.
But if you look at the Champions League and who are the teams in it, you know, Barcelona.
Well, they've already done them over.
Exactly. Are beatable.
They'd fancy them in the final.
Yeah, but it's not a Celtic Park, though. Barcelona are the big boys. Real Madrid will be there. But, I mean, it really is, dare I say, the most open tournament for a few seasons.
Is it delish, Marcus?
It's not quite delish. We'll see what the draw is.
Add some salt. Add some mould and sea salt.
I'll be using the word delish for it. private joke there, ladies and gentlemen. Let us have it, please. well, we have.
That's what I'm doing. You're off, Luke.
you've thrown me. Champions League. But even... would it be ridiculous to say that... Could a team like PSG win it? You know, Zlatan's on form. You know, you've got some good players there.
I would be surprised if that happened. I'd be surprised if any sort of like newly moneyed club could win it straight away.
Shakhtar?
I don't think Shakhtar are going to win it. Really? Shakhtar, I think they're certainly capable of putting a run together, but it's so difficult to call this without seeing what the draw is.
Marcus, devil's advocate. Shakhtar? no, Marcus, no.
But, I mean, what is interesting is how well Malaga have done and how well PSG have done, and in contrast to how City have done.
Yeah.
You know, because it's very similar situations, but they've managed to just keep it together.
Money sometimes works, is what you're suggesting.
You spend it on Zlatan.
True enough. Right, hang on. Back to the SPL. Don't think we forgot about it, because it was the Dundee Derby. Mm. Dundee Derby, the closest derby in world football or something like that. The stadiums are right next to each other.
All right,
yeah. They're on the same road, aren't they?
Alarmingly close.
I mean, why would you do that?
You could kick a football from one to the other, I'd say.
Why would you suddenly go, let's put our club right there?
Maybe they both turned up and sort of bagsied that area.
Yeah, we're not moving. We're just stubborn.
Right, quick, first one to finish in the car, and finish at the same time.
Do shops have like an affinity to a particular... You'd have to genuinely work out the exact right point between the two.
Would it be more pubs, wouldn't it, and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Where would the pubs
be? Home fans only, away fans only.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Is this a result of some just odd tectonic plate shift, though?
What?
Did one of them start off in another country and just sort of end up right next door to the Dundee Stadium?
It would be enormously enjoyable if it was.
Just although, been there for millions of years.
I feel that Dundee and Dundee United have always been quite close, but Dundee United did a brilliant win for them, 3-0. I've only been to Tannadice, I haven't been to Dens Park, forgive me if that's wrong, I think that's right. But it's so close, it's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Maybe someone can email in, tell us the pub situation there.
Mm. Yeah.
Something like that. Hearts won 2-0 against Craigie Brown's Aberdeen. Hearts are still having a bit of trouble. But it was to Inverness's benefit, because old Inverness Cali beat Hibs 3-0. Terry Butcher's men performing very well of late, and they are in second place. But still 3 points off Celtic, and the Celts have a game in hand.
Aye.
So it's... you know, I don't want to say Celtic are running away with it, because they're clearly not.
Jim shrugging.
But they've still got the distraction of the Champions League, so this could go on.
That's what I started to say earlier. That's two games there where they could be groggy afterwards.
So Inverness Cali have just got to keep on winning.
Yeah. Come on, Crowley.
Go ballistic. Come January, it could still just be a 3 or 6 point gap. I tell you something, I've not seen the likes of it. Well, let's go to the league then, where Barcelona, they beat Real, but it's 2-1 away.
That's not the story, though, is it?
Yeah, big shit. it was Lionel Messi who scored his 85th and 86th goals in this calendar year. Broke Gerd Müller's record of 85 goals in
there. And it's a long YouTube watch.
Did you see what Gerd Müller said?
He was like, he just sort of woke up from his slumber and just went, oh, yeah, brilliant, nice one, mate.
No, he was delighted for Messi. Yeah, he was. Brilliant. He said the only thing wrong with him is that he doesn't play for Bayern Munich.
Oh, yeah, it's such a German
gag. Wonderfully German.
I love the fact with Gerd Müller, he's obviously a man of a bit of, well, I don't know the guy, what he gets up to, so forgive me if anybody...
Do you not?
Not at the moment, no, but...
We went to uni then. Did you not know Gerd Müller?
I didn't.
Lovely guy.
Oh, I wondered who kept me out of the team. and he hasn't commented on any of this, but they've dragged these quotes out of him, you know. Whereas, as I say, you go to South America.
What do you say, though? It's just kind of like,
I mean, you've got
I had it for a fair while. If he's still got it as long as I have
years.
It.
Are they trying to make him be a dick about it?
Yeah, but I think they're just so...
Sign me up! I'm getting this record back.
But this is what I'm saying. They're so used to so many other footballers piping up if they've got some kind of achievement that's still relevant. Big Gerd. He don't give a damn, does he?
Yeah.
Doesn't give a damn. Zlatan did comment on Messi's record-breaking feat by saying, I too would get 90 goals if I were given penalties as referees give them away to Barcelona.
Ouch.
I'd love to see what Messi's penalty stats are, because it doesn't strike me that they get more.
Very
than
few.
Else.
I mean, in 86 goals, if 7 of them are penalties, do you know what I mean? and he did miss that one against Chelsea as well. So
yeah, loser.
Could have been one more.
It could still be.
Wouldn't it be amazing if he got 90?
Oh, it's completely likely.
It'd be much better than 86.
Well, it seems like he gets at least a brace in every game.
Yeah. What about Falcao, though? He got 5.
Yeah.
He's bringing up the rear.
Pretty amazing to stand out on that day, isn't it?
But really, yeah.
The variation of the goals is absolutely incredible.
He's got everything, hasn't he?
My favourite one was a sort of point-blank range, kind of really almost violent diving header.
Yeah.
Pretty much on the line. Uh-huh. Just, oh...
Scary.
Unstoppable.
I'm enamoured with the man.
But he could be... you know, a hero in a Hollywood film. Do you know what I mean? He's got that power and that kind of aggression and all that kind of stuff, but he does it in a kind of a good way, you know?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be scared of him. No. In a kind of...
Your team Falcao.
Yeah, exactly.
Team Radamel.
Exactly.
He uses his powers for good.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
5 goals to the good. Well, 6 goals they won by. 6-0 against them. Deportivo. So Atletico Madrid, they're still in second place. Still in second
still
place. Diego Simeone doing wonders.
The Cali of the league.
Yeah, twinned. Madrid twinned with Inverness. Real Madrid, they won 3-2 away to Valladolid. Nice to see Ozil on the score sheet there.
He got 2, didn't he?
He did get 2.
The second one was amazing. Actually, they're both pretty good. Mnucho got the 2 goals for Valladolid as well.
He's
like 29 years old. I thought he was much younger than
that. That's right. He played, a couple of games for United?
Yeah.
That's the Ramble Spanish team, isn't it?
It's your Spanish team.
Yeah.
I don't know what mine is. I'm up for grabs on that. Levante beat Mallorca 4-0. Levante up in 6. Obviously, we talked about them quite a lot last season.
Yeah.
So they're still up there.
Trundling along.
They didn't do a Manchester City and rest on their laurels, did they?
No, they didn't.
They're damn right, they never.
If you look at those two teams, it's definitely Levante that are coming out as the winners.
There's some odd comparisons this week.
You did it.
But I'm enjoying it. Right then, before we go to international football, Bundesliga. Amazing win for Wolfsburg, down in the relegation zone, or in the Bundesliga.
Wigan-esque.
Away to Borussia Dortmund. They won 3-2. But Wolfgang Stark, who was the referee, apologised afterwards for incorrectly sending off Marcel Schmelzer for a perceived handball on the line. Strange that you get a referee apologising.
Nice to see that.
Yeah, very nice to see. And nice to see anybody called Wolfgang, quite frankly. Yeah. I think we can all agree on that.
I'd love a Wolfgang.
Oh, I thought you knew one. I was going to ask you about him, but we can't because you don't know.
No, I mean a gang of wolves.
Oh, right, okay. Well, an entirely different thing, but we'll see what we can do. Hanover, they beat Bayer Leverkusen 3-2. Sydney Sam's failed to score again.
Oh, God.
I'm thinking
he's
that he
too
was
pissed, isn't he? He needs to spend less time in that saloon.
I'm beginning to think he's just a flash in the pan type of footballer.
In a spittoon.
Schalke. The big story for me coming out of Schalke is that they're offering fans a chance to
die.
Kind
of is what they're doing.
After they're dead, they're not going to kill them, but to be buried in their new stadium themed cemetery. There's nearly 2,000.
Say that again. Let's let this sink in.
Stadium-themed
cemetery with floodlights.
Does that have standing? It's to be propped up forevermore on the terraces.
Come on. They're to be buried. There's over nearly 2,000 plots. And a plot start at the fair price of nearly €5,500.
I just think,
but according to the club, the closer you want to be to the centre circle, the more the price goes up.
Mm. How did anybody get investment for this?
I've no idea.
Endeavour. I mean, I've had a brilliant idea. Get out of my office. A themed graveyard out.
We need money. What have you got?
Does April the 1st come on a different date in Germany?
He must do. He absolutely must do. So yes. Now then, we go to the international footballing arena, and more specifically Eastern Europe.
Okay.
Ukraine, they're in need of...
Yeah, still need a manager, don't they? Yeah, so that's not been announced, so we shouldn't really speculate, should we, really? FIFA using goal line technology.
I've heard that the Ukraine are in talks with Sven.
What? Right. Speculations can come from anywhere,
No, they are.
It's definitely you, Marcus.
This is not me.
Is it you?
I put my Sven mask on.
Is it you? I'm asking you point blank. Are you seeding these stories in the press so you can keep talking about your favourite balding smoothie?
Hasn't he already got a job?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Yeah, he was out in Thailand or something. I don't know. He's probably got about 3 jobs on the go. But he only tells a tax man he's got one. So yeah, he's in the frame.
Libel the one you love, dear, clearly.
Allegedly.
I would like to
distance myself from that comment.
I'd like to distance myself from just Marcus in general, because he won't talk about fucking Sven.
This isn't me. I look at what's going on in the football world, and Sven won't go away. All right?
You know. Luke could be more horrible to you, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. Opposites attract, Luke. Is all I'm saying.
Next news story.
Actually, Luke, save up your response, and next week we'll clip that out and play it again.
Goal line technology in the World Club Cup.
I'm in favour of it. Luke, yep. Don't talk about this next week because we'll just argue about it again. But, you know, it's purely for goals, isn't it? They're testing Hawkeye, and is it Goal Ref?
Goal
the other
Ref.
One, the German one. Where, the goal
That's
ref
a microchip
one, yeah,
in the ball.
It's a special ball, doesn't it? Or and some sort of magnetic
Low
field
magnetic
around
waves around the goal.
But Hawkeye claims to be passive, from what I know about it. And, test them out. All we need now is some phantom goals.
What does passive mean? What do you mean?
Just in that it's, you know, it makes no difference to anything. It's just the cameras in the goal and that's it.
Okay, yeah.
So both of them can apparently give you a decision within a second, and it is just for goals, isn't it? So it's not going to be sort of offside decisions or penalty decisions or whatnot. Yeah. It's just going to go beep.
So is it
a goal?
So is it? Oh right, okay. So is it kind of? But surely, like the Hawkeye in tennis goes beep, but only when you contest it. Is that right? Or is it? Does it only beep at a certain times?
No, I don't think it beeps.
But what I'm saying is that the decisions take a little bit longer than a second to actually get to anyone, or...
No, they show it on the screen, don't they, in tennis?
Mm. Yeah.
They actually show it.
Strongly doubt they'll be doing that in football.
Yeah, I don't really.
It'd be amazing, though, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be...
Cause riots.
It actually would.
Even though it's irrefutable.
And yeah. You'd be able to pinpoint the very millisecond when the ball crosses the line and what players' faces look like as the ball just goes in. This is the moment when the ball went in, and this is what that player was doing at that exact
point. I'm for it, actually. Yeah. I'm for it.
Exciting.
So yes, the World Club Cup is underway, but the big boys are not yet involved, but they will be soon.
Mm. I like the World Club Cup. It's sort of like futuristic football.
Yeah, I know
when the whole world is just one big league.
And everyone's like, everyone travels via like a new kind of Concorde or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those tubes in Futurama.
Platini, is that you? Speaking of which, Euro 2020. That's going to have a bit of a facelift. Or a makeover, even. A Euros for Europe.
Am I already for Europe?
I think so. But yeah, he's
somebody's been on MD 2020 by the time.
Well, there's 24 teams. There will be 24 teams in France next time round, in 2016.
64 for 2020, right? Is that every team? Let's make this worse as much as we can.
And a few from outside Europe.
Yeah, like Eurovision.
24 teams, but it's going to be played across 13 cities.
Yes.
So fans will like that, according to Platini. There'll be less travelling, and the sponsors bloody love it as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the telling. Like, Adidas
horrible that
What a great idea that Azerbaijan people need our nonsense. They really do.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Thomas Cook.
Marketing spends go a little bit longer, a little bit wider when you know. You just look at how much money the Champions League makes and stuff like that.
My goodness.
But, is that what they're trying to do, do you think? Just trying to replicate the revenue stream of the Champions League? Surely Euro can make more. It's just one big chunk of money, surely.
Mm. It takes a lot of the magic away of actually gaining the Euros. But, you know, the magic of winning an international or a European tournament can only go to one country at the end of the day, I suppose.
Mm. I mean, they used to do this with the Euros, I think, back in the day. I think it was in the 80s that it became a centralised tournament, or maybe they experimented. But
the tournaments were smaller, weren't they?
They were much smaller, of course. I mean, you know, there's an argument to be said. I mean, you look at Portugal when they had the Euros, they built new stadia, and now they can't fill the grounds. There was a lot of arguably wasted money. That kind of thing might be going on. But I mean,
and do you necessarily go out for the whole month?
You'd have less of an option of doing that, I suppose. But I mean, in Ukraine, where Ukraine is such a massive country, like people having trouble getting around that. You know, it's like. It's quite difficult to get around some of the countries anyway. Mm. So,
but then
might even be the case that if you are following your team, you don't travel anymore. You know.
But then, having been out to Ukraine when we went, it was bloody excellent.
Yeah, but it would still be excellent, wouldn't it? Like wherever you went, because you'd have that presence of the fans in your group, and you know, and branding absolutely everywhere. Which
I suppose it almost
seems like it's as much part of it as anything else now.
Yeah, when we've been in sort of competitions. Yeah, when we went to Johannesburg, it was only the teams that played in that, you know, that particular area that was really visible and stuff. And obviously we were over there for the final as well, and also in Ukraine. It was only Ukraine,
and Sweden.
Ukraine, Sweden. Really we didn't see.
Yeah, I suppose so. Are we agreeing with Platini, surely?
We don't know what we think. He doesn't know what he thinks.
Yeah.
So in a way, yes.
Well, before we go, we must talk about René Higuita. Just quickly, he's been in India recently. He was playing for an Indian All-Stars team, as he would, against a Brazilian All-Stars team, which included Bebeto Dunga and ex-Middles Roman Janinho.
Isn't Bebeto like in public office now? It's like Nadine Dorries.
Yeah, he just, over again. He just took the weekend off. Yeah.
He's taking advantage of his constituents.
Basically, Higuita stole the show by executing his famous scorpion kick at the age of 46.
46?
Was it impromptu? Was it kind of like somebody did it?
I don't know. I just saw a couple of stills of it. But he's right up there. I mean, the athleticism for a 46. For any man, any age. But especially
I feel sorry for his vertebrae and his lower back. A man of advancing years.
He'll be all right. But well done to that. Right, now let's move on to Pete's game after this.
Good news, Ramblers. We have a betting partner. And our betting partner, William Hill, are offering to match any sporting bet from £10 to £25 when you, a listener to the Football Ramble, open a new William Hill sports account. Go to thefootballramble.com/William Hill to find out more and claim your free bet now.
Pete's game. Get ready. You've got an increased chance of winning because Luke isn't here.
You're just calling it Pete's game now?
No, I'm not calling it Pete's game. I've not run out, thank you very much. I've got at least three. Pete at thefootballramble.com. The Crystal Palace Maze.
Yes.
That's good.
I love the Crystal
Palace. Works.
Maze.
Works. Right, press silence, please, for the clues. Gentlemen, I'm the only foreign player in history to score a hat trick for Fenerbahce against Galatasaray in the derby.
Stop. Kevin Campbell.
No.
Damn.
I've also played.
Kevin Pressman.
Kevin Pressman.
What's one of the greatest penalties of all time in the shootout between Sheffield Wednesday and Wolves? Anybody knows that penalty?
He's a goalkeeper.
He's a goalkeeper, gents and ladies. I've also played in France, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, Spain, France and England.
Stop. Is it Nicolas Anelka?
No, it is not Nicolas Anelka. He's been around, though.
Did he play in Turkey?
Yeah,
that's a question.
No,
he did
play in Turkey, yeah.
Karen Brady once confused me with Ron Atkinson's presumably Caucasoid son.
Ron Atkinson?
Yes.
Ooh. Stop. Daly and Atkinson.
It is Daly and Atkinson. Oh! Because she's an idiot.
Wow.
It's in there.
She asked. She once asked Ron Atkinson, it must be weird having to play your son.
Have you seen him?
He looks very different, Karen. Yeah. I won the very first Match of the Day Premier League goal of the season competition.
Oh, Wimbledon.
Took everyone
that
around.
That is a magnificent goal.
And then
goal.
Executed a 20-yard chip.
That is one of the greatest goals in English football.
I think it got voted the top 10, in the top 10 Premier League goals.
And that was when Selhurst Park was still half of it being built, is that right?
No, was that Plough Lane or was it Selhurst Park?
It was 92, 93, so whatever.
Ooh. It was one of the two, certainly. But there's an amazing bit where he's celebrated and a fan comes on who looks a bit like...
Ron Atkinson?
Yeah. I don't know, but he's got an umbrella and he holds it over him to shield him from the rain.
Ah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I played for Aston Villa from 1991 to 1995. Darlian Atkinson.
All right.
What on spells?
Let's have a profile. Should we have a profile?
Let's have a profile.
Let's do it. This week, we've got a beautiful boy. But who goes by the name?
Beautiful boy. Beautiful boy.
Oi, don't disagree with me. It's David Ginola.
David Ginola.
What a man.
What
a beautiful man.
David Desire Mark hair. Ginola.
His middle name was Desire.
I don't know. According to some people. If it's not, it should be. Born on the 25th of January 1967. Just six months
before the summer of life.
Sorted.
My goodness. Couldn't have happened without him.
Seg.
I'd like to. Oh, dear. Another of the Premiership's early foreign stars.
Pioneers.
Le Magnifique. As he was.
I remember he was linked with Arsenal for ages and ages before he came to England. I'm still glad he never played for us.
Yeah,
well, even now.
That's right. At the age of 45, I think. Started his career at Toulon in 1985 and made a bit of a name for himself down there as a teenage prodigy. He was there for a few years and moved on to Racing Club de Paris and then Brest in the French First Division, or Ligue 1, as we call it. And then in 92... he signed for Paris Saint-Germain, which is really where the rest of Europe, for my money, started to notice him.
Because he had a couple of games against Barcelona in the Champions League.
He
roasted them. Played really, really
him
well.
Him and George Weah.
Yeah, God.
They got to the semi-finals. 94-95, I think it was.
Was that kind of when his international career happened and then stalled massively?
Indeed. Well, at PSG, very entertaining style of play. Lit up
Lips and Ice sponsor. Yeah. Seemed weird.
Is that right?
Very European.
The Parc des Princes bloody loved him. He won the French Cup while at PSG. Was named French Footballer of the Year and Player of the Year in 94. It wasn't all roses for Ginola in France, of course. His time with the national team all but came to an end. Quite cruelly, really. I mean, he only got 17 French caps. For a player of his quality, he should have at least double that. But the moment was when France were playing Bulgaria at home in their final game of their World Cup qualification campaign for USA 94. It was France only needed a point. They went one goal up. Bulgaria pegged them back, so it was 1-1. France had a free kick right in the corner, right at the death. Seconds to go, and the ball was passed to Ginola, and people say he should have just kept the ball in the corner. But he tried to cross it. I think it was Cantona in the centre, and he hit it a bit over his head. Sorry?
He overhit it.
He did. And it went to the Bulgarian right fullback, who then passed it.
Who had everything to do.
Who then had the whole field of play in front of him. He then passed it. I think someone knocked over the top. Guy comes in, bang,
scores. 2-1, France are out of the qualification.
What Gilles should have done was covered every other position on the pitch.
Yeah. This to me is one of the biggest moments in football of where someone has made a scapegoat.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, like really,
shocking.
Really shockingly.
Yeah, really bad. I mean, Gerard Houllier was in charge of the French side. And so what happened was, if you haven't seen the goal, yes, it was that went to the fullback, but of course he's played it forward. The ball zipped around a bit in the midfield. Then there's a lovely ball over the top that bypasses the French fullback. Kostadinov, I think it is, nips in and then thunders the ball brilliantly in off the bar. From
we
quite
saw how
angle.
Good that Bulgarian team was in USA 94. You know, they're a great, great team.
Yeah, but for that moment, I mean, presumably there were some moments previously in the campaign that didn't quite go to plan, hence they needed a draw to go through. And Houllier blamed the whole thing against United. I think he said he committed a crime against the team, and he hardly played for the national side.
That's outrageous for a manager to say that. That's so poor from Houllier.
But then you also look at like Cantona's international career wasn't really that much to hold about.
True, but Cantona was because he was a bit of a bad boy, and his reputation went down. You know, it's similar. Not quite similar, but say someone like Joey Barton kind of talked his way out of more England caps, you know, and he'd do silly things. That was more Cantona. This was
one Gilles specific incident.
Exactly, and it was piss poor management who just blamed him for that, really.
Like nearer the end of his career, like when I'm sure you'll come on to it, when he joined Spurs and stuff, you've got to remember how strong that French team were.
Oh, true. Yeah, in 98,
they didn't
certainly
necessarily need him as much as he did when he actually committed that.
Yeah,
a atrocious mistake.
But he should have more than 17 caps, I think.
Yes,
agree.
I think that's fair to say.
But back at PSG, they had assembled an excellent side. They won the league for only the second time in the club's history. You think of PSG being one of the big sides. Oh, okay, they've had a lot of money recently, but I think it was that team that make people perhaps of our age think PSG are a big side. So they reached semi-final of the Champions League, beaten by I think it was Capello's Milan. But Gilles was great in that tournament. So in 1995, I think he'd had enough of France and was ready for a move, and Kevin Keegan signed him for Newcastle United.
It's interesting. I mean, the only parallel with that, I suppose, or the most obvious parallel, is after France 98 when David Beckham was sent off for kicking Diego Simeone, and he was made a scapegoat of as well, but he rode it out, didn't he? But that first
but that's a little bit
that
more
next season, you know, obviously they went on to win the treble, but like
and England are bereft of an excellent talent.
He went
well
through some real shit, David Beckham, but Gilles just wasn't having it, just went straight away. It's interesting.
Well, I mean, a little bit after, but yes, it was reasonably soon after. But he dazzled the northeast of England on many occasions, did he not, Pete?
I liked him as a footballer and a friend.
He's unaware of that, but he was an integral part of the entertainers team that we profiled them not that long ago. Scored a few decent goals, it's safe to say. Against Manchester United, a lovely one.
Yeah,
in the 5-0.
Yep.
But it's the one against Ferencvaros, which you want to talk about.
Just lovely. I think it starts off as a corner. It comes to him. He takes it on his knee. Mm-hmm. A defender is approaching at speed. He drags a volley across the defender's body, leaving him with loads of space to just open up his body and execute a glorious left foot volley, I do believe, into the top right hand corner, in off the bar. Thank you very much. 4-0 to Newcastle, that match ended, I do believe. But what a goal.
What a goal.
Asprey scored two. He couldn't get in the headlines.
No. There was only one headline that day, as it tends to be, Jim. It was an incredible play, Gilles. Touch of the Berbatovs. If you know what I mean.
For that position that was kind of all about speed back in the day. You know, you had your Keith Gillespie on the other wing, and him would just be like just dawdling up the left, just kind of like
tricky
taking it. Yeah, just basically
could whip across in as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Something just artistic, by the way. Yes, beautiful.
But him and like Les Ferdinand linking up to that's just lovely. Lovely,
right,
lovely.
You need a moment.
I love these moments. He gets a bit flustered.
Nick Gullo.
After his first away game for the club, it was away to Sheffield Wednesday, and they were on the coach home. They'd won well. Gilles had scored, lovely goal. Newcastle were top of the league.
It's probably one of my favourite footballing stories.
Do you think?
It's got everything. It's got a sort of real sort of like, I've misjudged this, which I love.
Oh, am I not meant to do that here? It's kind of, so it's a job well done, and they're all pleased with themselves. And Gilles said he... when he played for PSG, he'd have a cigarette before and after the game. And so he was on the team bus. I mean, he's not even waiting for the coach. You know, he's on the coach, sitting at the back, and he's thinking, you know, I think we've done well today. So he sparks up a cigarette, and the team are just like, ah, what's he doing? And they're like, Gaffer, look what's happening in the back. And so Keegan,
David, he's having a ciggy.
So Keegan had a little word with him, basically saying, no, David, footballers in England don't smoke.
They don't do it on the team.
But you know, I noticed he said that on the way home, the coach stopped at a fish and chip shop, and everyone got like a fish supper and a chocolate. You know, he's just like, hang on.
There was an unsavoury incident in a lay-by.
You get it in any time. Bloody hell.
You're getting it in Terry McDermott's hair, for crying out loud. It already stinks.
Oh dear. But he was brilliant for Newcastle, wasn't he?
He glided, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't run, he glided. But
that touch of his, you know, again, we talk about Berbatov's touch.
Yeah, it's true. He had that sort of ability to just suck the ball out of the air and just make it do what his brain said with his feet.
Caress is a word you'd use with Gennaro in so many different ways.
Like Fernandes didn't stay that long in Newcastle.
No.
Which
made such an impact.
Like 50 odd games, like 2 seasons, was it?
Because... Yeah. In my head, when I picture him, he's wearing a Newcastle.
Yeah, he played him off for Spurs, I think.
Spurs,
yeah.
He did. Well, when Keegan left and Dalglish took over, it was never really going to be a good fit, was it?
No.
So Dalglish went on his way, and his fancy L'Oreal hair went for a move to Tottenham in 97, and he still loved down at White Hart Lane as well.
Of course.
I mean, my goodness.
He was great there.
Scoring some great goals.
He was good. I've come to the conclusion.
Yeah, I believe
so. It's almost as if he's about to enter the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Well, for that goal against Barnsley in the cup, he deserves it. Remember that one? He was out on the left and just thought, right. And
I'm going past you again.
Yeah. What was great though, because he was obviously quite left footed, he does everybody with the left, like it's proper in and out kind of job, and then it forced him on the right and he actually finishes it quite nicely.
It was almost, the defenders were almost lined up like it was a slalom.
Yes.
Like a sort of perfect slalom goal.
Absolutely.
When he sort of like used to smash the balls in, I think. I think it gave Laurent Robert a lot more rope to hang himself with, because Laurent Robert made people remember David Ginola.
Yeah.
And they sort of going, oh, we've got a brilliant left winger who can smash the ball in from anywhere.
This is what we could have had.
Absolutely. He won the League Cup at Spurs and won the Players' Player of the Year and the Football Writers' Player of the Year in 99. At the age of 32.
99? Yeah. Loads of stuff happened in English football that year, as we know.
Yeah. Mm. Remind me.
United did all right.
Oh, of course, yeah.
there was a magical night in Barcelona, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's right. I do apologise. But yeah, incredible that you won both. As I say, at the age of 32, for not one of the top four sides as well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely marvellous. He left Spurs kind of against his wishes, really, in 2000. He was sold to Aston Villa. Another interesting relationship with the manager, John Gregory, this time was struck up. Gregory often commented about Ginola in the press, and do you remember that time when he suggested that he was carrying a bit of excess weight?
Mm.
And soon after, Ginola scored a great volley for Villa.
If you will not let me smoke, I do lose this weight.
But he scored a great volley for Villa, and he removed his top and just flexed.
Balotelli-esque.
It was great. It really was. It really was.
There's your excess weight.
Yeah, exactly. He played, a fair few times for
he
Villa.
He wasn't a people person, was he, John Gregory?
No. He really wasn't.
Not a man manager.
In 2002, he signed for Everton, but he was mid-30s now, only played a handful of games there. And I think, did David Moyes take over? He's not really Moyes' type of player.
No, Moyes put a bullet in that horse's head.
Yeah, he did. But he finished playing in 2002 and has done a bit of acting since retiring. And also pops up every now and then in the football media world. But
always nice to see him.
It really is.
Does a bit of BBC. Does he do a BBC?
A bit of Match of the Day too.
Yeah, you're right. It is. When you see him, you think, ah. And he's still got that lovely accent as well.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful voice.
Beautiful man. Beautiful playing style. And then he comes to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Happy Ginola, ladies and gentlemen. Well, kids, that is the end of the show this week. If you'd like to get in touch, is the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com. There's all sorts of wonderful things. And T-shirts for Christmas.
Yeah.
Get yourself over to the show.
I guess it's our last ramble next Monday before Turkey Tuesday, isn't it?
Turkey Tuesday. And of course, the drinks are on Saturday.
Yes.
So have a look at the Facebook group and all the rest to get some information about that.
Should be a good one.
There we go. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Pete.
And it's goodbye from me, gang.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.